I'd like to call the meeting to order. Could we have the roll call, please?
Mr. Cradaville.
Here.
Ms. Nimmons.
Here.
Mr. O'Rourke.
Here.
Mr. Shirley.
Here.
Dr. Webb.
Here.
Mr. Welsh.
Here.
We have scheduled today an executive session, so I would like for Vice President Cradaville to make a motion for us to go into executive session.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the board convene an executive session to consider the employment of employees as permitted by Section 2C1 of the Open Meetings Act, collective negotiating matters as permitted by Section 2C2 of the Open Meetings Act, pending probable and imminent litigation as permitted by Section 2C11 of the Open Meetings Act, executive session minutes as permitted by Section 2C21 of the Open Meetings Act.
Thank you. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. Thank you. The board will now go into executive session. We will now move to action item number 3, approval of minutes.
Okay.
And the first item for action will be the approval of executive sessions. That requires a special motion to make those public. I'll ask Mr. Cradaville if he'll make such a motion.
Yeah, move to approve and release minutes from closed meetings held on the following dates: April 10, 2007, January 18, 2008, April 21, 2008, June 23, 2008, September 12, 2008, November 21, 2008, January 23, 2009, March 6, 2009, April 27, 2009, September 4, 2009, and to authorize destruction of the verbatim recordings of these proceedings.
Thank you. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Second. Is there any discussion? If not, can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Mr. Webb? Dr. Webb?
Yes. Now we need to approve the minutes for our June 20 meeting. Do I have a motion?
So move.
Second?
Seconded.
Second? Did I hear a second? Roll call, please.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. Now we have the minutes of the July 8th board retreat. Could I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. I'd like to move to agenda item number B, which is a purchase approval. And I believe, Dr. Weber, you have some comments on that?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Webb. We have for your consideration today a single purchase item of $250,000 or more. This is an item that you've previously seen as an informational item regarding the design services for the renovations of the old textbook rental area to prepare it for the Honors College to move in. As we've been looking at the numbers and looking at the situation of our reserves, we believe we can expand what we want to do with Pemberton Hall to also do some electrical upgrades and extend the campus chilled water loop to serve the eventual air conditioning needs of that renovation. And so we have done a change order on the original design contract. That change order brings the contract over the $250,000 limit, and so we bring this revised item to the board today for your approval. We did discuss this item in some detail in the Finance and Audit Subcommittee earlier today, but either I or Treasurer McCann would be glad to address any questions you may have on it.
Make a motion to approve the Pemberton Hall renovations for the Honors College.
Is there a second to that motion?
Seconded.
Have a second. Discussion. No discussion. Can we have a roll call then?
Mr. Cradaville.
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons.
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Mr. Welsh.
Yes.
Dr. Webb.
Yes. The next agenda item, action item number 3C, is a tenure recommendation. Would you care to comment on that, Dr. Lord?
Yes, I'd be pleased to do so. The tenure recommendation is for Dr. James Kessner, who currently is serving as chairperson of our Department of Student Teaching. He came to the university in 2001 as the coordinator of the alternative teacher certification programs, served in that capacity for a number of years with distinction. In 2009, he was asked to chair the Department of Student Teaching. And in 2010, he was named to that appointment or named to be chair on a permanent basis. When he came, he did not have faculty rank with or without tenure. At this time, we are seeking to appoint him as appropriate for someone who's serving as chair to associate professor with tenure. However, because we do not grant tenure in the Department of Student Teaching, it's appropriate to have his faculty position actually be in the Department of Secondary Education and Foundations. His teaching experience while he has been here has included teaching both online and face-to-face courses, a variety of them, as well as designing and essentially creating the entire alternative teacher certification program. He's written two books and been a contributor to another. He's written a number of professional journal articles and made numerous presentations. His record clearly warrants, in my opinion, appointment as associate professor with tenure.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
So move.
Moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Is there further discussion regarding this recommendation? If not, please call the roll.
Mr. Cradaville.
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons.
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Abstain.
Mr. Welsh.
Yes.
Dr. Webb.
Yes. Move to item D, labor agreements, and the first agreement is has to do with the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 399. And Mr. Miller, I believe you're going to comment on that.
Presented to the board for approval is a tentative agreement reached between the university and the operating engineers on August 4th, 2011, to renew and amend the collective bargaining agreement. The operating engineers ratified this agreement on August 9th, 2011. This is a one-year agreement with a 1.25% wage increase for members of the unit. And it's recommended the Board of Trustees approve this labor agreement.
I make a motion to approve the contract renewal and successor agreement, International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 399.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Second. Discussion or questions? Roll call, please.
Mr. Cradaville.
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons.
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Mr. Welsh.
Yes.
Dr. Webb.
Yes. Our next item is another labor agreement for IBEW Local 146. And Mr. Miller, you're going to report on that?
Yes. Also presented to the board for approval is a tentative agreement reached between the university and the electricians on campus. The primary change to this contract is the addition of a new job classification, and it's recommended that the board approve this labor agreement as well.
Do you have a motion?
So moved.
Moved.
Second. Seconded. Yes.
Discussion. Questions. Roll call, please.
Mr. Prattville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. And finally, on terms of labor agreements, we have a proposed agreement with the Plumber and Steam Fitters Local Number 149 of the United Association, AFL-CIO. Mr. Miller again.
There is a tentative agreement between the university and the Plumbers and Steam Fitter Local 149. The agreement is basically a rolling over of the past agreement with a minor change relating to a memorandum of understanding regarding the apprenticeship program. And it's recommended that the board approve this agreement.
Make the motion to approve the contract renewal and successor agreement, Plumbers and Steam Fitter Local Number 149 of the United Association of AFL-CIO.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any discussion or questions? Roll call, please.
Mr. Prattville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. We are on item E, approval of depositories for non-appropriated funds. Dr. Weber?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Webb. Our piecemeal program uses several regional banks to deposit funds on a short-term basis. And a number of those banks have undergone either name changes or mergers in recent months. All of the banks listed on page 7 of your packet fall into one of those two categories, either a merger or a name change. And so we ask for your approval of these financial institutions as depositories for non-appropriated funds.
Okay, do we have a motion to approve depositories?
I so move
approval.
Move and second. Okay.
Second.
Question or comments? Roll call, please.
Mr. Prattville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. The next item has to do with the board responsibilities for intercollegiate athletics. And I'll call on Dr. Perry to make introductions here.
Thank you, Chairperson Webb. Eastern Illinois University is a member of the Ohio Valley Conference. And by conference policy, the governing board of each member institution annually reviews and completes a form, the Ohio Valley Conference Governing Board Certification Form. A copy of this form has been sent to the board in advance. This is not a new development. We have done this for at least 2 or 3 years. And, of course, it is my recommendation that the Board of Trustees review and complete this form. Before taking action, I think it would be appropriate for the board to hear two reports. One, a report on intercollegiate athletics at Eastern Illinois University given by Barbara Burke, our athletic director, and also our annual report on Title IX compliance by Cynthia Nichols, our director of our Office of Civil Rights and Diversity. So with your permission, Chairperson Webb, we will have those two presentations and then consider the form.
That's great. Let's do it.
Great. Thank you. It's great to be here with you this afternoon. And Cheryl is passing out our hard copy of our annual report. And before we get to that, I would just like to point out a couple of highlights from last year. And then we have a very short video that you can enjoy as well. As you know, we have several principles that we try to live by within the athletic department, and we'll start off with academics and governance. And our goal for our academic growth is a 3.0 overall with our intercollegiate athletic program. And this past year, we reached a 3.15 average GPA for both our men's and women's teams. We had 32 student athletes receive the OVC Medal of Honor, which means they achieved a 4.0 GPA in the classroom. We had 140 student athletes named to the OVC Commissioner's Honor Roll, which means their GPA was a 3.25 or above. This number, the 140, reflects the highest number selected within the Ohio Valley Conference. Also during the fall, Thankfully, we completed our NC2A recertification process, and in the fall of 2010, we were one of 26 NC2A Division I institutions that met the requirements and were certified by the NC2A for their athletic program. Basically, that means we were in substantial conformity with the operating principles adopted by Division I. From a community service standpoint, our student athletes completed more than 260 hours of community service in various projects throughout the Coles County and local community, including but not limited to activities such as Habitat for Humanity, Big Brothers, Big Sister, Special Olympics, and other opportunities within our local schools, such as reading to children, those types of activities. From a resource allocation opportunity, we're very excited this year. We had set a goal in our Panther Club of reaching 2,010 members in the year 2010. We started out with 1,361 members, ended up with over 2,100 members, which is an increase of more than 57%. In addition to that, that percent resulted in a net increase of over 46% of finances. So the growth, the individual growth, helped us to grow our resources in the Panther Club. The February Athletic Directors Gala was a great success, and we achieved additional resources for our legacy program of over $200,000. Following that up in April, we had our annual Spring Fling, which is our fund drive event for scholarships for student athletes, and we achieved our goal of over $99,000, and we've set a goal of $100,000 for this upcoming drive in this April. And finally, and not last, our competitive excellence. We had five teams that brought home OVC championships this year. This past year, we had two coaches named Coaches of the Year, Tom Akers in men's and women's track and field, and Kim Schutte in women's softball. In addition, for the second year in a row, EIU won the OVC Commissioner's Cup, which is the highest award given for athletic achievement throughout the OVC. So if right now, John, if we could have the video, and then I'll come back for any questions you might have.
Big names, big goals, and big championships. Those three slogans could easily define the Eastern Illinois 2010-11 school year as the Panthers wrapped up another banner year on the field, in the classroom, in the community, and with its alumni base. The Panthers paid tribute to their past with the retirement of two jerseys during the academic year, as former Panther quarterback and current New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton had his number 18 retired during the football season. EIU continued its homage to the past during track season as the Panthers retired a jersey in honor of former EIU triple jumper and 1972 Olympic game participant John Kraft during a home meet. The former Panther greats continue to return to campus as current Washington Redskins head coach and former Panther football player Mike Shanahan was the guest of honor during the third annual Athletic Directors Gala. With the help of Shanahan and many other donors, the gala raised more than $200,000 in funds to be used towards the Panthers' current Blueprint for Success capital campaign. One of the first phases in that campaign was the beginning of the Baker Warmoth Hall of Champions, which will update the lobby of Lance Arena, including the Hall of Fame area, in honor of two former supporters of EIU Athletics, Coach Merv Baker and Walt Warmoth. Success in building projects has helped to lead to success on the field as the Panthers once again won the Ohio Valley Conference Commissioner's Cup for the second straight year. EIU posted conference championships in men's and women's indoor track, softball, and men's and women's outdoor track. Overall, EIU placed eight teams in the top three in their respective sports in the Ohio Valley Conference regular season. In addition to team success, EIU was represented by Zy Bowie at both the NCAA Indoor and Outdoor Track National Championships as he earned All-American honors in both. Bowie was named the OVC Track Athlete of the Year, while Amber May led the Panthers softball team with OVC Pitcher of the Year honors. Track head coach Tom Akers and softball head coach Kim Schutte were named the OVC Coaches of the Year for their respective sports. In addition to success on the field, EIU athletic teams were successful both in the classroom and as members of the local community. EIU had a cumulative GPA over 3.0 for all of its sport teams and led the Ohio Valley Conference in number of student athletes earning OVC Medal of Honor accolades and Commissioner's Honor Roll status. Individually, Kaylin Lorbert, and Ashley Anderton both earned COSIDA Academic All-America honors, while Megan Gingrich was one of six Ohio Valley Conference Scholar Athlete of the Year award winners. Alan Marslin was named the Arthur Ashe Junior Scholar Award nominee. In the community, EIU student athletes once again recorded countless hours of community service working with organizations such as Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Habitat for Humanity, HOPE, and after-school reading programs at local elementary schools with more than 260 hours served in the community. That success, which follows the four core principles of the Layer Fund, leadership, achievement, integrity, and responsibility, led to a record-breaking year in development. EIU set out with an ambitious goal of increasing its Panther Club membership to 2,010 members for the 2010 calendar year. Two words, goal accomplished. The Panther Club not only reached 2010 member plateau, but exceeded it by more than 100 members. Grand total, EIU increased its membership by 56%, accounting for a 47% increase in donor gifts. Add in another record-setting year at the annual Spring Fling, and EIU Athletics is moving forward by touching not only the lives of its student athletes, but also the lives of the people who contribute to the program. Another highlight was the Panthers receiving word from the NCAA in March that they were being recertified as an NCAA Division I program. A designation of certified means that an institution operates its athletics program in substantial conformity with operating principles adopted by the Division I membership. So, as you can see, the 2010-11 academic year was indeed one filled with big names, big goals, and big championships, both on and off the field of competition.
Thank you. Any questions?
Anyone have any questions or comments for Dr. Burke? Well, on behalf of the board, that's an outstanding report for an outstanding program. And I know all of us, given some of the problems that athletics are experiencing nationwide in college and universities, are very proud of the program that you and your staff have put together.
Thank you.
I agree. Thank you. I do have a couple of questions for you.
Yes.
Our board belongs to the Governing Board of Trustees, which is a national organization. And they do have recommendations concerning the Board of Trustees' responsibilities with regard to athletics. I don't know if you're familiar with those or not. But basically, they say among the recommendations that Regents should approve annual athletic budgets, which I think we do, should approve and significant capital expenditures, which we do.
Yes.
Athletic departments should undergo annual audits by independent auditors, which you do.
Yes.
Each school board should have a committee to monitor compliance with NCAA rules and student performance. And I think our committee is taking a look at that. And the board should approve compensation of coaches and directors, which I think we do.
Yes.
So as far as I can see, we are also in line with the Association of Governing Board policies regarding athletics.
Yes, sir. We absolutely are. Are you wanting me to expand on those a little bit, or?
I beg your pardon?
Are you wanting me to expand on those areas of what we do as far as compliance with the Association of Governing Boards?
If you'd like.
Very quickly, I'll try to be brief on that. From a compliance standpoint, and we do report yearly formally to the Intercollegiate Athletic Board, which is made up of faculty, staff, and students on this campus, and we meet 4 to 6 times a year, and we make financial reports, compliance reports. We don't discuss compensation with that group, but from a compensation standpoint, everything is vetted with Dr. Nadler prior to going to Dr. Perry before it's brought to the board for approval before any final decisions are made. From an auditing standpoint, we are routinely audited yearly by internal and external audits. In addition, we have an OVC financial report that we're required to complete. In addition to that, we have three other external reports, one that is done by the Department of Education called the EADA report, which is the Education and Athletics Disclosure Act. We also have an NC2A gender equity report and an NC2A financial report that we are required to complete yearly as well. And then we also obviously routinely report these issues to Vice President Nadler. And then, yes, you're correct, in capital expenditures, anything exceeding the $250,000 mark, we report to the board for approval.
Okay. Very good.
Very good.
Any further comments? Have we taken action? Do we need to take action on this statement?
Well, we have one more report.
One more report, then take action. Okay.
I would just like to add that the trend with regard to athletic certification, and some of you may know there's currently a moratorium on the old system of athletics recertification. The NCAA put that moratorium on so that the system of recertification could be analyzed with a view to certain kinds of change. That's in process. But one thing is certain, the key emphasis and the desire for the key emphasis in the recertification is on student-athlete welfare. And I think that's something that we've had in place and was a place that we showed well in our self-study and our recertification, but at the same time leads us to continue to improve in those areas. So I want to thank Barbara Burke and her role as athletic director for the leadership that she's provided in making sure that the student-athlete welfare is foremost in the eyes of the athletic department, just as it is for the university in general. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would now like to ask Ms. Cynthia Nichols, our director of our Office of Civil Rights and Diversity, to bring the Title IX report and any other information that she would like to bring to the attention of the board.
Good afternoon. At last year's September board meeting, I provided a detailed description of how Eastern endeavors to assess whether it is accommodating fully and effectively the interests and abilities of the members of the underrepresented sex. Pull the mic down. Okay, I'm shorter than everyone else. Okay. How's this? Today, I am updating you on the data which we collected from students this summer. A more detailed review of the USOCR's guidelines related to this topic has been distributed to you at the table. Ms. Gilbert brought that around to you earlier. The USOCR considers three questions in determining whether there has been a full and effective accommodation of the interests and abilities of university students who are members of the underrepresented sex. First, is there an unmet interest in a particular sport? Second, is there sufficient ability to sustain a team in the sport? Third, is there a reasonable expectation of competition for the team? If the answer to all three questions is affirmative, the USOCR may find that a university is not fully and effectively accommodating the interests and abilities of the underrepresented sex and therefore may not be in compliance. Today, I'm just focusing upon question one, is there an unmet interest in a particular sport? The OCR evaluates a broad range of indicators in determining whether a university has met the interests and abilities of the underrepresented group, including multiple indicators of interest, frequency of conducting assessments, whether an institution uses non-discriminatory methods of assessment, and are there multiple indicators of ability. Today, I'm just focusing on the first three of these four indicators. Eastern meets or exceeds the USOCR's guidelines related to considering multiple indicators. and we exceed the guidelines related to how frequently such assessment is conducted. For example, we regularly survey students in the summers. Athletics and others regularly review high school team participation data, and we post that information on the Civil Rights webpage. Students may contact athletic administrators or others at any time to discuss the potential opportunity for the creation of a new club or team. Eastern uses non-discriminatory methods of assessing potentially unmet interests and abilities. During summer orientation, our office administers an online survey to first-time freshmen and transfer students, collecting information from them about their interest in participating in intercollegiate sports. Students may respond freely on the survey without any supervision. Their responses are aggregated and analyzed. We have a very large sample size. Thanks to the cooperation of the staff in the new Student Programs Office, the percentage of students who have completed the surveys has grown each year. This summer, 98% of the female first-time freshmen and 65% of the female transfer students completed the survey. Let's consider female student responses. In summer 2011, 8 women described themselves as having both the interest and ability to participate in intercollegiate lacrosse. 7 reported gymnastics, 5 reported bowling, 5 water polo, and 5 equestrianship, 3 ice hockey, and 2 field hockey. Considering 2010 and 2011 combined, lacrosse, gymnastics, and bowling were the most frequently mentioned sports. This survey is one of a number of indicators that Eastern uses as part of the ongoing process to assess compliance with Title IX. Are there questions about the assessment process? Thank you very much.
No questions? Thank you, Cynthia.
So, Chairperson Webb, I recommend that the board complete the Governing Board Certification Form for the academic year 2011 and 2012 from the Ohio Valley Conference.
Thank you. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any questions or comments? Can we have roll call, please?
Mr. Cradiville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. I believe the next item is a report from the president.
Thank you, Chairperson Webb. We have one presentation today, but before that presentation is given, I do want to introduce one of our guests in the group assembled here, and that is Ms. Leslie McDaniel. Leslie, would you please stand? Leslie McDaniel is the new foundation executive officer. As you know, the EIU Foundation and EIU work hand-in-hand to the benefit of the students and faculty and staff of EIU. And the Board of Directors of the EIU Foundation, in a special meeting on June 8th, approved the contract for Leslie McDaniel as the new executive officer of the foundation. She is a CPA with experience in public accounting, private industry, and not-for-profit organizations. She has a Bachelor of Arts in Business with a concentration in accounting from California State University at Fullerton. Leslie, we're pleased to welcome you and look forward to your attendance at future meetings. The sole presentation today under my item on President's Report is from Division of Continuing Education. It's about the Academy for Lifetime Learning. And I think whoever's making that presentation can explain the lime green items on your at your place. I'd like to introduce Dean Wilhein.
Okay. President Perry, it's my great pleasure to be here, and I want to thank you for the invitation to speak about the Academy to the Board of Trustees from the School of Continuing Education. With a baby boomer turning 60 every 7 seconds until 2024, if you're 55 today and in good health, you'll live another 30, 35 years. The baby boomers will redefine retirement and what that means. This is the largest and wealthiest cohort in the country with a $2 trillion annual expenditure, and in the next 20 years, well, to 2024, $1 trillion will be transferred to this cohort. The School of Continuing Education Academy is designed to meet this largest and richest cohort educational needs. It's now my great pleasure to introduce Janet Overstreet, who has done an outstanding job as coordinator and building this academy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. Thank you for having us here today. I'm going to get right to this. I know you've had a very long meeting, but I want to explain to you about a program that we have here at the university and we've developed over the last few years. In 2007, this program was considered, and by 2008 we had developed bylaws and set our first advisory council. We see it as our responsibility to provide education to all members of our community, and we have developed this program to serve those who are 50 and over. As Dean Hines said, this is a growing population, as many of you know. We also understand that in our community there are a lot of people who are 50 and over who do not have or have not had a history with Eastern Illinois University and therefore do not feel as comfortable here as some of us who are alum. So we see ourselves as helping to also make a bridge between the community and Eastern for this group. As you can see, the idea has taken off. Since the fall of 2008, our membership has grown tremendously. We are at over 1,100 members at this time, 600 of whom are annuitant memberships that we gave away as gifts as our thank you to annuitants. But the other 400 plus are people who chose on their own accord to pursue this wonderful endeavor of lifelong learning. There are benefits to membership, and those benefits include 12 free lunch and lectures, social events, special lectures. If you come and go to an DAUDNA event as a group through the academy that we have worked out with the DAUDNA, that we will get reduced rates to those events. And something that has really started to take off is that we are providing one free credit course per semester in the fall and in the spring to this cohort. There are a number of criteria that goes into the decision about which courses we offer, but it has been something that has really taken off in the last couple of semesters. And, of course, because all of us know how horrible parking situations can be and how difficult people find it to park at EIU campus or any other campus, we have worked out so that our Academy members feel welcome here through a free EIU parking pass for Academy events only. So who belongs to the Academy? People in from our communities, and we stretch all the way to Marshall, to Sullivan, primarily Coles County residents, but people who are interested in meeting new people, developing hobbies, addressing interests that they have had over time that they didn't have the time to pursue. We do this in a number of ways. We have lunch and lectures where a local expert comes in, maybe a professor or a community person, and talks about I think the president is noticing he's up there because he attends some of our events and some of our courses. We also have workshops as well as social events. And there is the president of the Board of Trustees making pottery this summer. We do offer a number of courses that are hands-on because we did a survey, which I will talk about in a minute, that told us that this is something that is desired in our area. We hold academy events primarily here on campus, again, because we see ourselves as a bridge from the community to the campus and from the campus to the community. So we hold them here on campus so that we can highlight some of the wonderful resources that we have. This week we had an awesome guest lecture series type of event at the Tarbell Arts Center where the faculty exhibition, we had four of the faculty who came in and gave tours talking specifically about the art that they were exhibiting. Went over very well. We had students there, we had community members there, and of course academy members. Because we see ourselves as a bridge also from the university to the community, not just from the community to the university, we do hold events also at Sarah Bush, at Cooperative Extension, Douglas Hart, trying to highlight to those who are retired or nearing retirement all the wonderful resources of our area. We have conducted a couple of pieces of research in the last few years. One was educational needs survey. We had a lot of cooperation from local education providers, Sarah Bush, some manufacturers. We received over 550 responses to the survey telling us what type of education people 50 and over in our area would like to see. And that is what is going to push us forward in our decision making on what it is we offer. Another piece of research that we recently conducted was a survey and some focus groups regarding a program called Life Paths. You probably will find out more about that. That is something that we are continuing to pursue funding for. This is a program where it's a set of exercise equipment that you set out in a public area. It's all weather resistant, and I'm really excited about this because it can be set, for example, like in a current sidewalk system such as at Sarah Bush or here on campus or one of the local parks. So we will do cooperative programming for this to occur. We also have been involved in a number of special projects, always in cooperation with other departments here on campus. We had a conference a couple of years ago called Aging with Grace. Jeannie Snyder and I were the co-coordinators of that. We recently held a dance. It was our first Alzheimer fundraiser, raising almost $6,000 for Alzheimer research for the Greater Illinois Chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. We have received six grants from the Illinois Humanities Council Rhodes Scholar Program, and we are involved with the gerontology program offering. We have offered and continue to offer a research series that is intergenerational among the gerontology students and our academy members. Our current projects are our committee work. We're really developing our committees. We will have and do have an advancement committee, a curriculum committee, a marketing committee. We're working with a couple of departments here on campus and putting together a really cool YouTube video as a marketing piece. And our corporate marketing project, this project came about because we understood the importance of lifelong learning as a retirement option for people and something that they want to partake in as part of their retirement. So we put together a package, and I spoke with Sarah Bush as the first person that I or the first corporation that I approached, and they agreed to give an Academy of Lifetime Learning membership to every one of their retirees. So they are the first person who has jumped on our corporate program. They also chose, which is not something that we were really pursuing, but it's wonderful, they also chose to give every one of their staff members who are 50 and over a reduced rate membership to the academy. So they are paying a portion of their membership to the academy. So they have really taken hold of the academy and understand the importance of lifelong learning. They understand the importance of having happy employees and, of course, happier retirees. Of course, we are pursuing external funding, and we are looking into some cooperative programming for what we call our snowbirds. They are our academy members who go south for the winter. Come to find out that some of the Eastern alum are running some lifelong learning programs in Florida. It all just happened wonderfully. So we are looking at working with these Eastern alum to develop some cooperative programming, because we don't want our academy members to have a brain drain in the winter when they go south. We want to make sure that they're continuing to have a wonderful experience in lifelong learning. So those are some of our current projects. This is a listing just because I wanted you to know who has given their time and energy to the academy. We have advisory council members who are very active and supportive to us. And as you can see, some of them are former Eastern employees, but we also have people who are from the community who were not Eastern employees, who we're bringing on again to make that bridge from the community to the university. So thank you for having me. Does anyone have any questions?
Does anyone have any questions for Ms. Overstreet? Well, I am a member of the Academy, and it's an outstanding program.
Thank you.
I've embarked upon a so far fruitless effort to see if I have any artistic talent in anything. I'm still working on it.
That's okay. You're having a good time doing it. Thank you.
I didn't see you. Though.
I just wanted to thank Will and Jana for all the work you do and your staff. I think this is another great way that EIU connects with the community. You heard about community service earlier with our athletes, and all across the university, we find ways to connect with the region and more widely, too. That concludes my report, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank you. We move on to the report of the board chair. In looking at the president's contract, I see that he is starting his fifth year of a five-year contract here at the university. I'm going to have to stop introducing him as EIU's new president. I think I will now introduce him as university like new president. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, I think it's time that we, as a board, sit down with Dr. Perry and start talking about a new contract for him. So I've asked Leo Welch and Julie Nimmons if they would serve on a committee to do that. And I would like to have a motion for the board to approve the appointment of that committee.
I'll move that.
Second.
Seconded.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. So, Dr. Perry, they will be that committee will be meeting with you. We have no report from the faculty, I believe, no Senate report, no student government report. I understand it.
Correct.
So we're ready to move on to a summary of purchases.
Cool.
That's just for informational purposes?
That's correct. As usual, we have a summary of purchases ranging from $100,000 to $249,999. We have several items on the list on page 15 of your materials. Most notably, you'll see a couple of technology purchases. You'll also see continuations of previously board-approved agreements with Honeywell for measurement, monitoring, and verification of our energy conservation measures. You'll see the contract with Chicago for family weekend.
Okay.
And so, again, either I or Treasurer McCann would be glad to answer any questions if you have any.
Any comments, questions? For our board committee reports, the Executive Planning Committee, we did meet, discussed basically some of the items we've already discussed here, so I have no further comments on those. Julie had to leave early. And on the Finance Committee, Mr. O'Rourke.
Thank you, Chairman. The Finance Committee met, several attended. We had an update from Dr. Weber on the general revenue funding cash flow. Much as last year's unfolding of the budget, it pretty much replicating it, we are still don't have all the FY11 monies, but we are current on FY12 monies, so it's kind of a misnomer, or it's a conundrum that they owe us money from FY11, but we're current on FY12. But Dr. Weber assures us that we're okay until December in our checkbook.
Okay.
So
that's coming up.
Yeah, December's not far away. We also had an update on the Renewable Energy Center, which the grand opening's October 7th. It's now fully operational, and the old plant is offline. So that's going to be a great day for Eastern when the ribbon cut it. And lastly, we had an update on the strategic planning update. There will be the next phase is the Vision Conference on the September 27th, with about 60 to 70 participants involved in that. Then the Goals Conference will be held on November 1st, and then we will get the final report presented to the board at our January meeting. So we had a lot of detailed information about the strategic planning efforts.
Okay, thank you for that report. Sure. Mr. Welch, on the Academic and Student Affairs Committee.
Yes, we met this morning. On the agenda for discussion were reports on the opening of the fall semester, including the, my understanding, a very successful convocation, and also Eastern Reads, in which I participated in, and which I found, again, a very enjoyable experience to meet the freshmen that are entering Eastern. And this is a continuing program, and both my wife Kay and I have been participating in this for several years, and so far I've been winning the selection criteria. I read nonfiction and she reads fiction, and so far all the books have been nonfiction. So I'm ahead about 4-1 or 4-0 right now.
Excuse me.
Also, we went over the enrollment report, which, as you well know, has decreased from the previous year. That was also discussed earlier in the day at the Executive Planning Committee. And, of course, considering methods of increasing enrollment and certainly enhancing retention to retain what enrollment we have. And I'm very interested in the essentially the equivalent of an early warning system, so that if students are exhibiting some type of academic difficulty or whatever it might be that might result in them dropping out, there could be intervention. And from my perspective, this intervention component is it should be considered crucial, because it may be that you could lose a student that may not continue in higher education. And I think there's every opportunity to maintain that goal over time. So I'm very interested in seeing the outcome of this, and if it's successful, it should be implemented elsewhere, because this is an issue not just at Eastern, but in the public sector in Illinois as a whole. And furthermore, we should be getting a little clearer details on the status of enrollment in the public sector with the initial, what is called a 10-day reporting that will be compiled and reported back. We went over a presentation on proposed electric signage on campus, where there would be several electronic signs that would include information about events, et cetera, at Eastern, but also including corporate advertisement. There's no action taken, obviously, but I find this particular initiative unsatisfactory and will have not been convinced otherwise. And because of the another issue that was brought forward was the report on the on basic skills. So we've received compiled data on comparison of basic skills for Eastern students as well as the state. So it's a very thorough comparison, and that was called for, I believe, by Trustee Nimmons, and so we had some time to discuss that. We had a short session, so there were a few other items on the agenda we couldn't get to, but I'm sure we'll revisit that in the future. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I noticed where President Perry got some statewide coverage on his remarks on the early warning system and the Board of Higher Education memo, I think, last Friday as well, which we were happy to see. Board regulations, no change, no report.
No report.
Okay, thank you. I believe that completes all of our action items, if I'm not correct, all our reports. Do you have anything further, Mr. President?
Just under university highlights in your board booklet, I would just like to note that the School of Business did maintain its AACSB accreditation, and the level of accreditation we have is held by less than 5% of business schools worldwide, so it's hard to get and it's hard to keep. So the School of Business deserves the board's attention for that. Also, under alumni, and this will be of particular interest to Trustee Welch, as a scientist and a biologist, Ron Davis, who is a local person who graduated from here in 1964 and is a member of the National Academy of Sciences, is receiving the Gruber Genetics Prize for 2011. And that's another distinguished honor for him. And then something that's not in your book, but if you'll notice the picture over here to the left, our Student Veterans Association and our ROTC Panther Battalion planted 2,900 and some flags on the front lawn of Old Main, each flag representing the nationality of someone who died in the 9/11 attack on the World Trade Center and the other attacks. We participated with the community in many events of remembrance. And this particular display drew a lot of community attention. So I just want to bring those three items to the board's particular attention. Thank you very much.
Well, we commend the School of Business for their achievement on that certification, because I understand the standards for that accrediting agency are very stringent.
Correct.
Does any member of the board have any additional items to bring before the group?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
A comment. Oh. Just a brief comment.
Brief comment, okay.
Brief comment. I decided to read the 2010 annual report of the Office of the Inspector General that has been submitted, and it's from fiscal year 06 to fiscal year 10. And looking at the hotline calls sent in to the Inspector General, I'm not sure what happened in fiscal year 09, but there are twice as many as other years, 8,523 calls were sent to the Inspector General's office. And after apparently a review of these calls, there was of the total, there were 90 cases that had a foundation for that particular organization, And based on their annual budget, I calculated that each one of these founded investigations amounts to approximately $95,000.
Now, you're talking about statewide, is that right?
Statewide.
Statewide.
And one of the cases that was founded involved a letter of reprimand.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering about the cost effectiveness
of that program.
Of that particular program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe you need to spread that word around Springfield.
I'll help you.
Now I think your motion would be in order, sir.
Already made it.
Oh, you already made it. Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Cradiville?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
No.
Mr. Shirley?
He's yes. Consistent.
Mr. Welsh?
I give.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. I guess we're adjourned. We are adjourned. Good dreams. You got me right.